We are here for 5 days and listening to a lot of talks, interesting talks, and they are of course hearing interesting moments in this 5 days conference. So the real point of the 5 days is the speech at the conference dinner. And we are thinking about whom to invite. And so before the conference I made up some statistics, like who were invited for real talks in the last few years. And Scott was really invited last year and the year before, and he's very young. So we thought that it might be really boring to have him again giving an invited talk, so we thought that it might be much more interesting to give him a harder task, so therefore he will give the real talk of the conference. Please, Scott Aronson.
Before we start, I should warn you that there is a prerequisite for fully appreciating this talk, and that is, of course, that you be drunk. So if you've still got wine in your glass, drink it down. We're going to need it, all right? All right, so as most of you know, for the past 8 years, QIP was a very fine, very upstanding conference, by which I mean that the invited speakers were chosen sort of in the only reasonable way, according to the nobility of their blood. This year, unfortunately, there was an uprising of the proletariat. Suddenly, all of the unwashed, lice-infested plebeians could give talks, provided only that they submitted their abstract by November 3rd. Well, so here's what happened. The week of the deadline, I had this terrible cold, and I was thinking, I really, really should look at about this deadline. I should see what it is. And then, of course, it had already passed. even then, I wasn't that worried, okay? I thought, look, they wouldn't dare not invite me to give a talk. I mean, they need my jokes, okay? And they're not going to get the jokes unless they invite me to give a talk about QMA/QPoly and QCMA and BQP/QPoly. These are the results, by the way, not the jokes, okay? So, what are they going to do, right? I mean, you know, they're just going to invite me just to give jokes? I mean, they're just going to invite me as a jester? So, what do I know? I stand corrected. You see, this made me a little bit worried because I'm going to be applying for jobs this year. And I can't have prospective employers just see me as a jester. They have to see me as some respectable, serious researcher. Of course I'm not, but that's what they have to see me as. But how? How can I make them see me as this serious researcher that I'm not? So this was the question that was much on my mind as I slowly fell asleep on the flight to Europe. Suddenly, I was in a bizarre dream world. And in this dream world, a great meeting of scholars was taking place in an ancient academy. Strangely, in this entire academy, there was only one fiercely guarded entrance. And only those bearing a special badge on their chest were permitted to enter. And I thought, before me, all the leading authorities on the theory of quantum mechanical computing machinery. I shall beseech the advice of these great scholars, these wise men and women. They shall enlighten me on what it means to be a serious researcher. The first that I encountered was a man by the name of Chris Moore. Chris, I said, I beseech thee, what can I do to make myself respected as a serious researcher? But Chris, as it happens, was lying naked in a bathtub full of representation theory textbooks. Oh, he said, you want to be a serious researcher? Oh, you got to drop everything you're doing, man. You got to learn this stuff. Oh, it's so arrogant.
but
graphite, I said. Do you really think that it's reasonable to try to put graph isomorphism in quantum polynomial time by just throwing away all the graph structure and then just repeatedly banging on this one hammer of the hidden subgroup problem over the symmetric group? Oh, who cares, man? Oh, the sum of the squares, the dimensions equals the group order. Oh, oh, my goodness. Oh, it's so elegant. So what can I do? So I left Chris with his representation theory books. So, and continued on. So next I encountered an elegant damsel by the name of Julia Kempe. This was the very same damsel who had invited me to give the after-dinner speech in the first place, so she will certainly never, ever be doing so again. Julia, I said, I beseech thee, how can I become a serious researcher?
Oh, God! You have to collaborate!
Collaborate? I said, but with whom?
Oh, with me! Oh, oh, wait, wait here! I'll be back 1 minute!
And then Julia laughed in that I never saw her again. After making some inquiries, I learned that in a cave outside of the academy, there lived a certain hermit. And if anyone could tell me how to be a serious researcher, it was he.
Ronald!
So I arrived in the cave, and who should I find there but Ronald DeWolf? Hi, Ronald. Am I a serious researcher? What's your opinion?
No, I don't state opinions. I only state facts.
That's a good problem.
All right, well then, how do I, in fact, become a serious researcher?
You need to be more rigorous. You need to write more rigorous papers. The more rigorous, the better.
But, well, isn't that just your opinion? All right, it was clear that Ronald had gotten stuck in an infinite loop. So I left him there. I left the cave. And as I did, who should I run into but Michael Nielsen? Michael, I said, everyone respects you because of this wonderful book you wrote. So tell me, how can I become super respected too as a serious researcher?
Wait, I mean, wouldn't we get a separate P from NP?
But Michael, I mean, don't you think that this is sort of a difficult question, proving circuit lower bounds? Don't you think that maybe we're living in the wrong century to sort of attempt such a thing?
No, but you, they'll run to me secret complexity classes without bare hands.
Alright, so I wished Michael good luck in his quest and continued on. Now, I had heard that just outside the academy, there lived a very wise man by the name of Ben Orr. So I sought this man out. Michael, I said, I beseech thee, is it worth it to try to be seen as a serious researcher? Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. What does it even mean to be worth it? What does it mean to be serious? I know some people who are both serious and, haven't done anything. Others who are not both serious have written great papers in algebraic complexity. But what are the consequences of being seen as serious? What, Michael, I said. Look, the trouble is that, for some strange reason, people just see me as this sort of jester. Ah, but you asked, is it worth it to be seen as a serious researcher? So, what do we mean by worth it, and what are the alternatives? This is actually related to something that came up some years ago. And so I slowly backed away. Fortunately, he didn't seem to notice. So, at this point, I despaired of ever getting an answer. But far off in the distance, I heard a voice, and it was clear, even at this distance, that this was not the voice of any ordinary man. As I approached, the words became clearer. It was clear that this was a man who was a speaker lecturing to an audience. What was he saying?
Quantum answer sending message. We consider my quantum state. Powder is from an input. We then take our powder in the part. We don't take the input part as a density matrix.
Of thee a great favor. Please, please tell me, Andres, is it better to be seen as a jester of a field or as a no-nonsense, straight-arrow, straight-laced researcher?
I don't know. I think that those were the advantages.
But before Andres could finish, two men wearing suits and sunglasses burst into the room.
Department of Homeland Security, they said. Andres and Lioness, you are under arrest for attempted illegal entry into the United States.
What is this about, I demanded. Surely you have better things to do with your time than go after Andres and Lioness.
We've been tracking this character for years, they said. By day, he looked like a mild-mannered lower boundsman, but by night, he was leading the Latvian branch of Al-Qaeda.
Is this true, Andres? I demanded.
Nothing's wrong with me.
Out of the picture, I had to find someone else. Then it struck me. I should seek out the most serious person in the entire academy,
Daniel Gottesman.
Daniel, I said.
Hi.
Daniel, look, you were the after-dinner speaker at last year's QIP, and yet, in spite of that, you are still universally regarded as quite possibly the most serious person in the entire history of the world. Surely that means that there's hope for me as well.
Well, that doesn't exactly follow.
Right, I got it, Daniel, but... How can I make my colleagues respect me?
Well, clearly one way would be to not publicly ridicule them.
All right, you got a point there. It was no use. Having exhausted every other avenue, at last I decided to turn to the one man who had guided me through all the trials and tribulations of my academic career. A man whose every syllable seemed imbued with the entire wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita. And you didn't think you were going to escape, did you? My advisor, Umesh Vadwani. Well, the first challenge was to find him. After dozens of calls and emails went unanswered, finally, I pitched a tent outside a local squash court and set up a surveillance camera. It was only a matter of time. Finally, he came by. Umesh, I said, I need to ask you something.
Maybe Thursday?
Thursday. Maybe next Wednesday?
All right.
So I came Wednesday. Finally,
meet me at the coffee shop at 8.
So, at 8:03, I was there. Umesh was already there, looking at his watch. Umesh, I said, are you okay? What's wrong? What happened to you?
I don't know. It's your dream.
Umesh, I said, how can I become a serious researcher?
You mean you didn't learn after 4 years at Berkeley?
Apparently I didn't. I don't know.
This is very difficult, very difficult. This might take one even wiser than I.
Wiser than he? So now I was really at a loss. I needed someone who was as smart as a whip and as serious as a tax attorney at a funeral. Someone whose intellectual qualifications, whose legitimacy, whose gravitas were as unquestionable as the square root of N quantum lower bound for search. And at that moment, who should I run into in the hall but the President of the United States? George, I said, what are you doing here?
I heard you'd be a great talk.
QMA/QPOLY.
George, I said, there's not going to be such a talk because the organizers of QIP didn't invite me.
Must have been those French folks.
The Americans got to stick together. You know, got to be strong people. Tough people.
All right. Well, look, George. You know, do you have any advice on how I could become a serious researcher?
Well, whenever you got any question, I mean any question about anything, you got to do what I do. You got to seek guidance from the Lord. You got to pray for guidance.
Got to pray for guidance, I said? Well, I mean, it's been a while. I guess I should try. I don't know.
No, George said, that ain't how you do it. Here, watch me.
So George and I prayed together, and sure enough, after a minute, I was face to face with the Holy of Holies, the almighty initializer of the state vector of the universe. And God spoke unto me, saying, all right, well, what's this about? Are you just another one of these physicists who wants to know why the fine structure constant is 1 over 137? First of all, I'm not a physicist. I'm a theoretical computer scientist. And secondly, I don't care about the fine structure constant. It's just a constant.
Well, then, what dost thou see?
Lord, I want to know how to become a serious researcher. At that, the Lord became very angry.
Scott, he said, don't you realize how fortunate you are? Almost every human being who ever lived was a primitive hunter, or a tribesman, or a farmer, or a slave, or a ditch digger, or an experimental physicist. But you are part of a community of people studying the most fascinating questions ever asked. You get to trade ideas with the likes of Gottesman and of Bionis and the Wolf. And above all, you were granted the greatest advisor on the entire planet, Umesh Bhadrani. Yet what do? You ridicule these people. You mock them. Look who's talking. You're weirder than all of them combined.
All right, you got a point.
Scott, the way to become a serious researcher is to learn all you can from these kind, wise, amazing, brilliant people around you.
Oh, thanks, God.
You're welcome. Anything else you'd like to ask?
Yes, God. Why is P0 equal to NP? And that God let out a hearty laugh.
If I told you, it would ruin all the fun and excitement of trying to find the proof yourself.
I don't care. Just tell me the proof.
Oh, all right. You're going to slap yourself when we hear it. I claim that N variable satisfiability requires at least 2 to the N steps. The proof is by induction on N. Look. Suppose it's true for n minus 1. Well, an n variable formula is nothing but a disjunction of 2 n minus 1 variable formulas.
God, I said, this proof, it's not going to work.
God,
I thought it over for a minute, and finally said, yeah, you're right, it's not. He said, gosh, you know, this polynomial versus exponential business is a lot harder than I thought. You should tell your friends at QIP that they are really tackling some unbelievably hard questions, and I wish them the best of luck. And at that, I woke up. So that's it.
Merci. Bonjour.